Big D Entertainment presents the Dave Holly Hour. Brought to you by Dazzle Shows Presents, The Vaudies, and Dipsy Doodle Productions. He's a variety entertainer, a former broadcaster and columnist, a true lover of arts, entertainment, good food, and fun times, including an occasional Jack Daniels. Okay, so a few Jack Daniels. Here he is, Dave Holly.
Happy weekend eve, everyone. It's a Thursday. It's a new episode, in fact, number 34 for the Dave Holly Hour. And I'm Dave Holly. Yes, I know. I really should host my own show sometime, shouldn't I? All right. This show is about Sioux Empire Arts and Entertainment Conversations. If you're not from the Sioux Empire, don't know what I'm talking about, but you found this online and said, wonder what this podcast is about. The Sioux Empire is basically the larger area, let's go like an hour out all the way around Sioux Falls, South Dakota, smack dab in the middle of the United States of America, where Interstates 90 and 29 meet. Okay, you got the geography lesson out of the way now. I have a passion for local arts and entertainment. You're not going to hear me interviewing big stars that come to town. You're going to hear me talk about the big stars that are already in town and in the communities that surround here. We've got a couple of good ones today. Jaina Fitzsimmons is the artistic director, the owner, the technical director, the everything else of Bear Bodkin's Theater Company. They do Shakespeare in the Park, except they won't this year. They have an arrangement. Let me get my grammar correct. They have an arrangement with the Sioux Falls Parks and Recreation Department. They had to come to an idea as to what to do this year because of the pandemic. They have decided not to go forward. But that doesn't mean we're not going to talk about Bear Bodkin's. For those of you that have never heard of them, we'll find out about it. Also, Jaina has many more things going on, so we'll talk about what's in store for Bear Bodkin's coming up, what they've done in the past, and as well what Jaina is involved in. Otherwise, as part of the theater staff at Augustana University in Sioux Falls, also helps collaborate with Dakota Academy of Performing Arts. So she's got plenty going on. After that, food, beverage, yeah, that's kind of a passion too. Especially pizza, and you've heard me tell the story that, yes, there is a podcaster pizza available at Books and Brews on the new menu, named after moi, because it's the one that I just kept ordering, and instead of having to give them the ingredients all the time, I just said, give me the podcaster. So when they came back, after being shut down for a while, when we thought they were going to be closed for good, they have come back with a vengeance and a new menu and some new ideas. We're going to talk about that with Travis Graham from Books and Brews, but also about the fact that they have entertainment. We got back to karaokeing again this past Tuesday, just a couple of days ago, at Books and Brews, and it felt G-U-D good. So, we will talk to Travis about that. All right, first-time listeners, here's a little fun thing we do in the opening every week. We like to give out a little shout-out to someone that's made me laugh, guffaw, chuckle, chortle, slap my knee silly, or maybe cry some tears of happiness. Well, it was a little bit above, for all of those above, this past Friday. Regular listeners and many people know that one of the side gigs that I do, because we all have to have that aside from our regular paycheck anymore, don't we, to survive, or to have a little fun money maybe? So one of the things that I do is I host trivia at the Sky Lounge in T, South Dakota, not too far from Sioux Falls. For a few months, we did that virtually to stay away from the pandemic, follow the rules and regulations that seemed to have been in place, although the governor would argue that she... I never told you that. that's an inside joke as well as just a little teeny tiny bit of political commentary you'll get from me. Moving on, though. So last Friday, we did it live for the first time since the middle of March, and it too felt G-U-D good. Had a blast, so therefore, this week's honorable mention goes
honorable mention
to all those that played virtually or live. Thank you so much. And thank you, Sky Lounge. It is a pleasure to be down there. Friendly folks, and they are one of the show sponsors here. They are great people, great bartenders and staff, and they have a lot of fun. You know, they've got darts. They've got a lot of fun stuff going on. They do karaoke. They do some bingo things. Music bingo is really cool. Of course, they've got the ruggedly handsome trivia man, but they also, just like this show, believe in local arts and entertainment. You go down there, if it's a comedy night, they've got somebody playing. I know they had Neo Johnson's recently playing some acoustic. They've got a big street dance coming up in June. We will tell you more about that. Well, wait a minute. It already is June, isn't it? We'll tell you more about that probably next week. All right. But in the meantime, I will be back for more trivia again this Friday, and the theme will be baseball. Okay. That's the opening. When we come back, we hear from Bear Botkin's Theater Company's Jaina Fitzsimmons.
Sure, they have darts, and you've heard me talk about how ruggedly handsome the trivia host is, but all caps fun never stops at the Sky Lounge and Tea. And fun is best had with your friends enjoying live entertainment, as in live and local. Yeah, the Sky Lounge believes in giving you the best bands, solo artists, and comedians from the area. The Neo Johnsons, Elizabeth Hunstead, Skylar Volks, as well as many others. And a great staff will make sure you enjoy your fun at the Sky Lounge in T, South Dakota.
And happy weekend eve, everybody. Another Thursday means we talk Zoo Empire Arts and Entertainment Conversations. And boy, do we have some great stuff coming your way yet this summer. But one thing we're going to miss is Shakespeare in the Park. The Bear Botkin's Theater Company had to make a tough decision along with the city of Sioux Falls recently to not go forward with this summer's presentation. But here to talk about it is its owner. Let's see. General manager, production manager, technical manager, everything else manager, Jaina Fitzsimmons. How are you today?
I'm doing well. Thanks for having me.
Glad to hear that. That had to be heartbreaking for you, didn't it? How many years have you had the company now and been doing this along with the city?
Yeah, so I've been the artistic director since 2011. A while.
Yeah.
And I've been working with this company since 2006. I started as an assistant director and an actor, and then transitioned into the artistic director role. So it's been a big part of my life for a really long time. And it is going to be a different summer. But I think that we made the best decision that we could, given the circumstances, to keep everybody safe.
Yeah, no doubt about that. It, like you said, it had to be a difficult decision. I know it's been throughout for so many different troops and so many entertainers, artists, and so forth throughout the whole pandemic. So applaud you for the decision. Obviously, gonna miss it. Gonna miss it myself. Just because I think I've been there almost every year that you've been involved in it.
Yes.
and maybe one year I might have missed it because of some family things going on and so forth. But it's always such a great thing. And let's just talk about Bear Botkin's for those that are saying, okay, they've canceled it, but what is it? Tell us about Bear Botkin's.
Yeah. So Bear Botkin's is a small, professional, original practice Shakespeare company that is owned and operated right here in Sioux Falls. And when I say original practice, what I mean by that is we endeavor to do Shakespeare in a way that is really guided by history and how Shakespeare would have done Shakespeare in his own time. So to that end, we have a small company of actors that perform our plays every year. We use a lot of doubling in the casting. So we'll have maybe 6 or 7 actors. They'll play all of the roles in the play. We perform in the beautiful Queen Bee Mill, which is one of the most beautiful theater venues, I think, anywhere. And we have audience members aligned so that they are kind of in the configuration that would have been present in the Globe Theater. And we use a really bare bones approach to staging that that works with what Shakespeare would have done in his own time.
Well, there's some other things that come along with that, too. You may have a male playing a female. You also may have some of the audience members doing something to help out.
Yes.
And as well, the thing that I just love about Shakespeare is the fact that here we are, you know, hundreds of years later from when he first put on these plays, and still everybody's enjoying them, and the fact that they can be modernized or basically kind of put in this non-time frame.
Yeah.
What do you enjoy about it when you put it together then?
Yeah, I think that that's something that really means a lot to me to hear you say that, because I think that's what we try and do, and we consider ourselves having done our job right when our audience members can walk away and go, oh, yeah, like that story, I understood everything that was happening. We really seek to make Shakespeare for everybody, really accessible at every level. So kids enjoy our shows, you know, adults enjoy our shows, and we love that. So that's probably what I love the most about doing Shakespeare in this way, is that it is such a welcoming invitation into his work. That's what we make our kind of mission. And then we get to see all sorts of really great folks every year who come out to be a part of our company or come out to see our shows at Falls Park. So yeah, that's something that really means a lot to me, and that's something that's going to be missed this summer.
How many performances are there in a typical year?
In a typical year, we do one play and we do 8 performances of it at the Mill.
All right. And then what's it take to put together that one play? I mean, are you already thinking of next year, or are we just going to carry over this year's to next year? And then, you know, will it also, you know, give us a little idea what rehearsal time and everything that goes into putting that on?
Yeah. So we're usually at the Mill in a typical year at the beginning of July. We're kind of right around July 4th. That's when folks know when to look for us. But we begin way, way before that. We start by sending in our grant proposal to the city of Sioux Falls every winter. And so we're thinking about that around the first of the year. And then we have a series of conversations with them about our plans to go, and we're really fortunate to be 100% grant funded through the city of Sioux Falls. So that's a big part of our process. And then usually in the spring around Shakespeare's birthday in April, we're having auditions, and that's when we're finding our actors that we're going to make part of our company. And then that process begins for me, the piece of adapting the script. Once I know who the actors are, I can really customize the script for them and their strengths, and it helps me figure out the doubling. It helps me find fun challenges for actors that I worked with before. And so that process is happening usually in the late spring, and then we'll start our rehearsals. We would have been started already in a normal year, so we usually start at the end of May, beginning of June, rehearsed for the month pretty hardcore, and then we're ready to go. It does take a lot of time and effort to put these pieces together so that they can really flow and feel really effortless, and that's something that I think our audiences have come to enjoy about our productions. And then, of course, it depends, too, on the type of show that we're doing. If we're doing a tragedy, oftentimes we have a fight director involved and fight choreography that also needs to be learned in that time period. So that's something that we also kind of keep an eye on as we're sort of budgeting our time for our July show.
Well, how many rehearsals do you actually get out at the Queen Bee before doing the performance?
We usually move out to the Mill about the week before.
Okay.
So our actors have a week of evenings out there, kind of, many of them join us year after year. So it's kind of like returning home for a lot of our actors. But every year we have at least a couple of new folks. And for them, it's just all about kind of getting acclimated to that really unique performance space, performing outdoors, the type of projection and physical demands that are required of working out there. And so that's our time to kind of really set the show. And it's kind of almost like we start rehearsals again at that point.
Well, I was going to say, I guess one of the reasons I asked the question was in terms of blocking, you know, because you work so much on that during rehearsals, and then of course you finally get around to dress rehearsals, etc. But you know, when you move from one spot and then you go out to the Queen Bee Mill out in the open, and everything's around you. That's got to be a different flavor for any actor, doesn't it?
Yeah, it sure is. And just everything that, all the unpredictable elements that come with doing theater outdoors, which is its own kind of set of rules as an actor, which is why I really consider myself fortunate to have worked as an actor with Bear Bodkins before I became the artistic director. It gave me a lot of insight into how to best work with the actors that I work with now as the director. But really thinking about expanding, oftentimes we're rehearsing in a smaller space when we're indoors and air conditioning, and then really kind of opening everything up that we've blocked and we've set, and then learning to kind of deal with those unpredictable elements like passersby or airplanes overhead, you know, people who are talking loudly and passing, or animals or birds, or, you know, things like that. So there's a lot that that we can't really plan for, but we hope that week helps us kind of get our feet under us there.
All right. So this year was supposed to be Much Ado About Nothing.
Yes.
Ironically, the one college play I was in. Many, many years ago, obviously. and I played one of the constables. So
very fun.
Huge hit. Had fun with it, though. That's the main thing. And of course, actually, that was my first experience with Shakespeare at all. So getting to learn how to say the lines in that pentameter, and also just, you know, the way that the English was written back then was such a challenge. What do you enjoy as the challenge then of Shakespeare, both as an actor and a director?
Yeah, I think, as I mentioned before, the biggest challenge is to do that work leading up to a performance where you're so steeped in the words and your own kind of, I don't know, the work that you do alone as an actor before you bring it to rehearsal, then that is built upon by the work that you do in rehearsal, so that you can really dive into the meaning, especially a comedy like Much Ado About Nothing. There's a lot of jokes that in the script that you really kind of have to puzzle through before you realize what makes them funny, right? And kind of how the language is working. Because one of the reasons I love this play is the way Shakespeare uses language in it to really maximize the comic effect. So that's something that is always exciting to me, both as an actor and a director, is to really kind of do that work with actors where we're really kind of going, okay, where is the humor in this? How do we tell this story together? How do we tell it in a way that's exciting to audiences and invites them into the experience?
And one of the other things that you end up doing, you were talking about translating everything, finding everybody's niche and what they'd be good at for the multiple parts, et cetera. It ends up being a little bit shorter than what the actual play would be. I think you did Comedy of Errors at about 87 minutes last year.
Yeah. Which is great. That's right where we want to be. Because of you know, we're governed by the timing, right? Of like, we want to be out of there and get folks moving on their way. And so that is something that I do every year. And as part of my adaptation process, is I'm also doing a good deal of cutting so that the plays can be performed within the time frame that we have, around 90 minutes. So that too, we can do it without intermission and just kind of make everything really flow really nicely together. So yeah, that's another big part of the process. But one that, as I'm looking at Shakespeare's words, and this is another thing that kind of links back to that love of the language, is, you know, how do I make those cuts and adjustments to the text in a way that the audience will never know, right? I mean, unless they're following along with the script. Right, so that it can be really seamless, so that the meter always matches up. And so that's something that I take a lot of pride in, somebody who adapts the script, and also a really fun challenge.
Now, this is one of the plays that has been done as a movie several times by some big names and so forth. So you do have some advantage that way. So is it going to be next year's show then?
That's the plan so far.
Okay.
And that's something that we're still kind of chatting with the city about. And we have such amazing supportive folks at Sioux Falls Parks and Rec that have just like really been so willing to have these conversations with us. And we've been on the phone a lot and we've been talking, and you know, this is a script that I really want to do. It's been a while since I've done this one. And I've loved this one for a really long time. It's interesting that you say this is kind of Much Ado About Nothing was your first Shakespeare's, you know, in college that you got to work on. And this is one of the first Shakespeare plays that really spoke to me as a young person when I was encountering Shakespeare's work for the first time. With Emma Thompson and Kenneth Branagh and Denzel Washington. And I was like, oh, what is this? I mean, it was like this almost kind of awakening moment. Oh, there she is.
And you said you have two of those in the background, right?
Yes, I have a couple of them now. So, yeah.
And who was that then?
That's Violet. She's a miniature dachshund.
Okay.
Yes.
And who's Violet's cohort?
Gobo is downstairs.
Gobo is downstairs. Okay. All right. Well, they can chime in whenever they want. We accept that here. That's the best part about a podcast, you know. All right. So getting back to your point then about Shakespeare and that being one of your first things to be taking in with it. And it's just so much fun once you get it. Mm-hmm. And it becomes, like you said, very humorous. And, you know, we're talking hundreds of years of humor that maintains. So what do you think it is about Shakespeare that maintains throughout all the centuries?
I think that his writing really taps into something that is so key to how we want to experience stories, right? He's such a masterful storyteller. And his plays are so, for the most part, very well crafted. Even the ones that kind of have these weird like subplots or twists and turns or, you know, different things going on, they're still so enjoyable because I think that his work really kind of calls to us as audience members. Oftentimes as audience members of Shakespeare, we're brought into the story at the most exciting moment possible. Oftentimes as audience members, we're given information that makes us feel like we're in on a secret, right? That we know things that are happening and we can see it unfold on stage. And I think that he just writes really fascinating, multifaceted, fun to play, fun to stage characters and scenes, and he can't beat it.
And you know, in some ways, he broke the fourth wall before anybody else broke the fourth wall, didn't he?
Yeah, that is such a quality of his work and his contemporaries, the aside to the audience, and he just brings us right in. And there's that really fun thing that happens when we're kind of nodded to as audience members like that in a play and allowed into the action in that way. That doesn't happen when we're in a dark theater and the curtain raises and then we're ignored for the rest of the performance. And I love theater like that too. But I think that Shakespeare does something really powerful when it comes to kind of putting his arm around the audience and bringing them into the story.
We're talking today with Jana Fitzsimmons, who is the owner, chief cook, bottle wash, the whole works when it comes to Bear Botkin's Theater. But regrettably, as we said at the beginning, mentioned it last week on the show too, that not going forward with this summer's production because of the COVID-19 pandemic. But that's not the only thing that you're involved in. That's for sure. My goodness gracious. You get into your resume and, you know, one of the faculty members in Augie Theater, and you've also collaborated with DAPA, Dakota Academy of Performing Arts. Let's talk Augie Theater for a bit, because something else we're going to get to later in our conversation is the Sioux Falls Stage Awards. And they have a collegiate category. And James and the Giant Peach has some great things going on with some nominations in that. Mm-hmm. And then we'll talk about somebody else that also happens to be nominated for something from Bear Botkin's Theater. Would have no idea who that would be. But so how did you get involved with Augie Theater?
So Augie Theater, it's kind of an interesting connections that kind of led me to my work there. I have a twin sister, and she went to Augustana where she studied theater. And so when I was a university student at a different university,
Let's mention that one, Southwest Minnesota State University.
Southwest Minnesota State, which
alumni.
Yes. High five. wonderful university where I had a great theater education and awesome professors, one of whom comes back to work with Bear Bodkins every summer, which is so great. But yeah, so when I was in university there, I would go to Augustana, and she was studying theater and psychology. And so I felt like I really got to know that theater. I felt like it was kind of like, I kind of joke with my students now that in some ways I feel like I went there. So even though I don't have that Augie alumni connection, I kind of feel like I partially do. But yeah, once I finished my master's degree, there was a position open there, and that was the, you know, exact type of teaching position that I was hoping that I would be able to attain once I finished my master's, because it's a small liberal arts university. It really values the arts. And it allowed me to teach in many of the areas that I had trained in and that I'm really passionate about. And the students really can't be beat. And my colleagues are wonderful. So there, I can't say enough good things about Augustana. But I've been there teaching for a little over 10 years. And it's been a great teaching home.
And a wonderful theater too. And it's one of the more uniquely designed, the Edith Mortensen. I just love going there, with the exception of, you know, old hips and old knees that have to climb up a lot of steps sometimes.
Yes.
But what do you enjoy about the facilities at Augie?
Yeah, our facility is really unique, like you said. It's a really fun space to direct in. As part of my work at Augustana, I not only teach, but I also direct on our main stage. And what I love about that space is that it is unusual. The audience is really kind of wrapped around the action in a way that I think really kind of blurs some lines between audience and action that we're accustomed to in the theater. And yeah, it's a place that I think really awakens something in my imagination as a director and the imaginations of the actors. And it's kind of a fun, funky facility. And we get to do a lot of really cool stuff in there.
Do you have any animal trainers so you can get your dogs involved?
I wish, you know, Bobo has done Shakespeare before with our dogs through DAPA. I direct a youth Shakespeare camp with DAPA, and we did Two Gentlemen of Verona a couple of summers ago that has a really great part for a dog. And so he got to do it and wear a little hat, and it was ever so cute.
and sell it? Did he sell it well?
Oh, yeah, he really did.
Oh, excellent, yeah.
Until he saw some of his favorite people in the audience.
Well, you know what they say. I can't remember who said it, but, you know, children and animals.
Dogs.
Yeah. All right. Well, Augie has certainly been growing in its presence in the theater department and so forth. But the city and this community and the arts and entertainment community around Sioux Falls and in the greater Sioux Empire has also been growing. Mm-hmm. You know, I guess one of the things that I see and we address on this show so often is it just kind of exploded, you know, over the past 5 to 10 years in this last decade. You know, we went to, you know, we had the high school theaters, we had the collegiate theaters, and we had SECT. You know, Sioux Empire Community Theater, and Bear Bodkins was already going in the summer by that time. Mm-hmm. You know, there would be some camps for the kids and some parks and rec stuff going on in addition to your program. But, you know, now we've got several other troops that are coming out. And the one thing that I love about it is the fact that, you know, actors are getting a chance to act and get paid in this community and get some props for what they do. What's been your take on watching this grow over the past few years?
Well, it's been really exciting. Like you said, the sort of explosion that seems to have happened. And, you know, I grew up in this area, just across the border in Inwood. And it's, you know, been really cool to kind of have this as my kind of lifelong community and see how much it's grown and changed and how supportive of the community it is. and how many really cool, interesting, unique experiences that are offered to actors and audience members and theater practitioners in general alike across all of these different different companies and troupes that are now present in our community. It's awesome.
And venues as well. You know, yeah. Who'd have thought we'd be seeing plays in bookstores?
Right.
Bookstores, yeah. And so there's just so many facets to it that have been great. And, you know, now we have a magazine specifically devoted to stage, Sioux Falls Stage, a wonderful publication of Luke Tatchy. And that is going to have its first ever, since it isn't its first year, its first ever awards.
Yeah.
Sioux Falls Stage Awards, of which you are a nominee.
Yeah.
What do you think about that?
I think it's cool. It's exciting. And again, just like another sign that our arts community is growing, there's just a lot to celebrate.
That's for sure. And you've got more to celebrate because Augie's got some things going on. Some people nominated there as well. Plus James and the Giant Peach is part of that nomination. You got to be feeling pretty proud of everything in that regard. Both Bear Botkins, because that's up for Best Player Musical, as well as Augie. So you got a lot to be going, wow, is this all really happening at once?
Yeah, it's really cool to be recognized, and it's meaningful. And you know, of course, the plays that are nominated at Augie, we have, I think, another layer of pride in that James and the Giant Peach was directed by one of our students,
right?
And so that, I think, is just a really special thing. And yeah, to have James and the Giant Peach and the Thanksgiving play, which was a regional premiere of a really important new work directed by my colleague Dan Workman. It's really cool that that folks came out to that and said, hey, this is something that we want to recognize in that way.
Before we let you go, a few more things. First of all, my wife and I ran into your folks a while back and we were talking about different artists and entertainers in town and so forth. And they go, oh yeah, they've been over to our house. Oh yeah, we see them quite often. Oh, just like a son, just like a daughter. So that's fun. And that also brings up another point in the fact that the arts and entertainment community is, there's not a lot of animosity and quote unquote, you know, competition.
Right.
It's more of a collaboration throughout here. Mm-hmm. And when you see that, what do you think?
That's something that just, it fills me with so much pride in our arts community that is the type of community that we have here. That's rare. That's not something you find just anywhere. And we are a small community still, and it's a small world. We all know each other. We all speak out and about. And I think that has helped cultivate this really lovely collegiality and support of one another. There's a lot of overlap between theater companies and what folks are doing. And, you know, we, I think, really support each other, push each other to grow and be better, open up doors for each other. And that's something that's really special. And that's something that that I think really characterizes Sioux Falls Theater.
So when you're not part of the entertainment, or not commercial, but entertainment community in this area, what do you like to be entertained by?
Oh, I love to go to theater, and you know, this is something that we always talk about as theater professionals in the community. And Violet likes to talk about it too.
Apparently, yes.
is that it sometimes can be really hard to get to each other's stuff because everybody is producing and we kind of have overlap. But I really love to see what my peers and colleagues in the theater community are doing. I love what Monstrous Little Theater Company is doing with how they're finding these really interesting spaces to present really interesting work. So I really I always look forward to their shows, and always love to kind of cheer them on when I have the opportunity to. And also I really love music and live performances. Something that I always look forward to is Transept, which is a fabulous kind of a choir ensemble that just does amazingly moving work. And so I always look forward to.
All right. And when you're not doing all of the above, any other hobbies that you have?
No.
One of the best answers on this show yet. Yeah. No.
I'm writing my dissertation right now.
You don't have room for a hobby then.
No, I don't. But it's kind of a lot on the plate right now. But I do really like just spending time with my family. My family's all here in Sioux Falls, which is something that's great. We're really close. And when I'm not directing and producing and writing, then it's time dedicated to them and just kind of being out and about and hanging out with my partner and the dogs. And it's a good life.
That's wonderful. We're glad that it's a good life for you. And do you make it part of a good life for people in this community as well with everything you do in the arts? Thank you so much, Jaina. And of course, you forgot to mention one other thing, or at least I did, that you were also in the most recent issue of Sioux Falls Stage publication, and a very great article, and appreciate hearing your words. And with all you've got going on, most especially, thank you for taking a half hour for us today, okay?
Oh, thanks for chatting. I appreciate it.
It was great. I appreciate it. And we'll be back with more of the Dave Holly Hour in just a moment.
Dr. Perry Langston and Dr. Corey Tootie provide the very best chiropractic care to Sioux Falls. At XL Chiropractic, the focus is to improve your overall health in spirit, body, mind, and will, relieving your pain and helping you in your wellness goals. Discover how to get results the natural way. 605-332-9235 or xlchiros.com. That's EXCELCHIROS.com. XL Chiropractic, excellent care for excellent people.
Once upon a time, a broadcaster and columnist. Now, a podcaster and blogger. Either way, the mirth and merriment continue with Dave Holly.
Happy weekend, Eve. It's another Thursday, another time to talk arts and entertainment in the Sioux Empire. I'm Dave Holly, and thanks for joining us on the Dave Holly Hour. And now joining us, first time, but we've mentioned this facility many a time, it's Travis Graham from Books and Brews and now Speakeasy. How are you, Travis?
Very good.
Glad to hear that. So let's talk. We had some fun times here over the past year. It was such a great place to come up and just experience some people jamming. You'd have some live acts. Karaoke could be sung almost any time. Regrettably, COVID came around. You closed down, and it was supposed to be a true closure. It wasn't just going to be or temporarily closed during the pandemic.
Absolutely. We were closing for good, and that we saw no way that we could possibly stay open and not go totally in debt, for not only the business, but for home as well. So we posted that we were closing, and through those posts, through the internet, it reached a site that caught someone's attention, and he just clicked on our page, looked at the reviews and kind of what we have going on here, and total stranger, never been here, never eat here or anything. And he just made the decision that he didn't want to see us close. So,
and a by God, great decision for that man too, because it made a lot of people happy to be able to come back here. But there are some changes associated with it.
Yep.
And that's the fact that, Books and Brews Pizza, the pizza part, is separate on one side of the building, but there's some seating there, and a little book nook and so forth. But then over here on the bar side, where you'll find the great craft beers and as well a few wine selections, some of which have particular flavors that can actually go along with a mix and seem like a drink. Yes. So that's a great thing. But this is now a speakeasy. What brought about this part of the whole situation?
Well, when we had the regular Books and Brews, we heard so much talk of, it's the 1920s, Sioux Falls need the speakeasy. And I just kept on hearing, people bring up the idea of speakeasy, speakeasy. So I'm like, checked into him, and I'm like, well, that seems like a really cool atmosphere. And I'm like, and it could be transformed in what we have here to this building, which has got all the old feels anyway. Really simple. And I love the fact that we could make it just a 21 and over side, do some changes over here, and have family side over there as well. So we could do different things and really use the entire restaurant, you know, because before we used about half of it. So
right. And now you're using it in a much different way, and shall we say, a cleaned up Travis Graham version way.
Absolutely.
You look sharp.
Thank you.
I like this look. Quite often in a bow tie and a vest and so forth, a very speakeasy like. Yep. You added a house band, which
yes.
I think is just so incredibly cool because, you know, it's fun to be able to say, yeah, Sioux Falls, there's a place, we've got a house band, and we know how to rock it and actually take it back. And the cool thing is the particular band that you chose, H2O, will play anything back in those speakeasy times up to modern times.
Absolutely. Diversity is really good in the music too, you know, because not everybody likes a certain kind of music and they play it all. So that works out for everyone that comes and enjoys the night. So.
All right, so quite a few of us were here on your initial night as the speakeasy, and that was a great, great event. Chef Lance put on quite the show. And that's one of the interesting things, I think, about the food is how much food in itself has become, quote-unquote, entertainment.
Absolutely. And we're going to try to get featured chefs in here as well, you know, not every month, but kind of whenever we get together with them. And every once in a while, you know, we'll have a featured chef and do something like that, which is going to be totally different than our normal speakeasy.
Well, we're recording this on Tuesday, and of course, Dave Holly Hour comes out on Thursday, which used to be a karaoke night.
Yep.
Tuesday night's the new karaoke now, officially.
Yep.
As of this date and recording then. What added to the change, or what was part of the impetus for that then?
Well, we didn't know any other place that did karaoke on Tuesdays. When we did it on Thursdays, we didn't have as large of a crowd, because there is karaoke everywhere else, so Tuesdays was one of our nights we wanted to pick up more business, and we thought we can't get rid of karaoke. We just got to need to switch it maybe to a Tuesday night to see if more people come. We do it earlier in the evening too, so that helps out too for the people that have to work. So it's just the day we chose that we thought, you know, that was the slowest day during mm-hmm. the week, so let's bring something in to make something happen then.
Yeah. And it's also the beginning of the week for you here.
Yeah,
you
our
and
very
Angela.
First day.
Yeah, because yep. you take Sundays and Mondays off.
Yeah.
But will there end up being some special events perhaps on some Sundays and so forth?
Yeah, we have talked about different special events on Sundays, and maybe that's a time we're going to have like the featured chefs come in or on Sundays or Mondays on our days off, so that way we can continue normal business and have the special events. So
let's talk a little bit about the H2O, the house band. And as the train is going by, we can remind people there's still plenty of atmosphere down here in downtown Sioux Falls at 6th and Weber. And yeah, it does. It, in fact, I had to wait for a few minutes to get over here today. The atmosphere of this place and H2O being a house band and... when it comes to entertainment, you've had so many varieties in here. What's the atmosphere going to be like now for the rest of the week then? What are we looking about? What are we talking about?
Well, Tuesdays will be the karaoke. Wednesdays and Thursdays is just going to be regular dining for people to enjoy mm-hmm. that with the jukebox going. Friday and Saturday will definitely have live entertainment. Saturday is the night for the house band. Every Saturday from 8 to 11, and then we'll get, I don't know, just different artists in here with acoustic wise, you know, we don't want anybody banging on drums or anything, but nice laid back acoustic acts on Friday nights. So all the weekends we'll have live music for sure.
And we should also mention that if you are just listening to the jukebox, it's great because you are playing a lot of those old speakeasy type tunes and so forth and through that. So it's a fantastic. The atmosphere, you can tell when you walk in, and there's been some darkening of the windows now. So bit by bit, everything's adding to that. But for those that were here long before, there's one thing missing. Where'd Bob Ross go?
That will be now on the family dining side. He's still
okay.
There.
Bob's still over on the family dining side.
Can't get rid of Bob or the book now. The two B's.
That's right. So you got Bob headed that way and so forth. But let's talk about your background in entertainment. And when you got here and took over this bar, what did you want to accomplish with it? And how's that still intact? And how is it still part of your vision of entertainment?
Music's been a part of my life since I was probably 13, I believe, is when I started playing guitar. And I've been in bands and traveled all over and had a really good time with it. And I haven't been in a band for years now, but I still always have the love for music. So when we opened this place, it has a stage. I knew for sure I needed to keep live entertainment in here, you know, because the other people that were in here had it, but it seemed like it was every once in a blue moon where I want to have something every weekend, keep the music going. And karaoke is, I owned a karaoke company for years, right up until we opened this place. I'm like, well, now I got a place where I can just put it up and we can have karaoke once a week. So yeah, and music's always been a big part of my life, and I knew I wanted to keep it when we got in here and see what we could do with it.
So what got you into music?
My uncles. Absolutely, watching them all get together on the weekends and play. And that's my Christmas present one year from my uncle, was a acoustic guitar, so I never put it down after that.
You know, anytime I ask that question, especially of a musician, not so much a stage actor or other type of performer, but specifically musicians, it's usually, well, sang up growing in church, you know, growing up singing in church, etc. You're the first one to ever say uncles.
Yeah, and my uncles were the first ones to give me the guitar, and they kind of gave me a little bit of insight that gave with the books, but those are never, I don't know, that's not the way I want to learn. I want to do visuals, you know, and mm-hmm. just show me how to do it, and I'll just do it. And when my dad married my stepmother, she's like, oh, I see you want to learn guitar. She's like, here's how you play a G, C, A, D, F, B. Took me through a little bit, and she's like, now you're on your own. So I think that actually helped, because uh-huh. I was able to all of a sudden develop my own styles and just learn from there. I mean, I love every kind of music. So nobody taught me how to strum. Nobody taught me how to play like these other people do. You know, I just watched, listened, and learned. So
do you think that was part of a natural calling then, to play the guitar?
I think so. Music is on my mom and dad's side, both a big thing. So,
yeah, and it's always great when you've got a great combination like that to help out. So bless them for providing you with a good ability to entertain and want other people to be entertained. As you take a look around our community and how the arts and entertainment community has grown, what do you see that is kind of a spark for it that has been able to make this happen?
I don't know, really. It seems like that we used to, in the 80s, have bands all over the place, and then it seems like they died out for a while, and I think the people had a calling for it, and it's coming back again, you know. When I was growing up, there was a band everywhere, even during True. Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday, everywhere. And then it kind of went out, and now it seems like they're trying to get music back again, and it's just great, you know, between, well, even like the Levitt, you know, they do the concerts all the time, and more bars are starting to get musicians and open mic nights, and it's coming back.
Yeah, and in terms of the performing arts, more places for them to be available too.
Yeah.
You know, you think of, you know, the Book Co-op.
Yeah.
And that hosts, you know, it hosts some live music as well, but it also hosts plays.
Yeah.
And all these small troupes that have popped up. So it's so fun to see that, and we're so excited that so many things are going on here at Books and Brews Pizzeria and the Speakeasy. Are we ever going to get to the point where you have to know the secret word to get into the Speakeasy?
I think that would be a cool thing to to get that going on the weekends, especially. You know, I think that'd be really awesome.
Well, you know, one of the other things we need to talk about is in terms of the Dave Holly Hour podcast. We're going to be coordinating with you here at Books and Brews. We're going to have a fun thing. We're maybe a couple of weeks away from getting it started, but For those of you that were listening at the very tail end of last week's show, you know that I said something. Might be a few things on the horizon. Well, one of them is we're going to give you an opportunity to have pizza with me and the guest of your choice. What we want you to do, and you can start doing this right away, even though we may not be able to launch the actual promotion for a couple of weeks, is go to the website and just use the message thing on there, a contact us page, and put your name, your email address, the night you would maybe like to go out for pizza, and then tell us what your favorite episode of the Dave Holly Hour has been, or perhaps your favorite guest. Because ideally, what we'd like to have happen is get that guest to come along with us. So start thinking about that. And of course, you do know that when they did the reopen here, they had to modify the menu a little bit.
Absolutely.
Because they added a particular pizza that had been requested by some large 57-year-old guy with very little hair. And he kept saying it, it's just call it the Podcaster. You made it official.
Absolutely. We had to. We're one of Dave's faves, so why not have Dave's faves on the menu?
Yep, a Dave's fave. So let's talk more about the actual pizza and so forth. The oven. So it's a wood roasted, correct?
Yeah, her name's Bertha. Angela will want you to know that.
And Angela has spent numerous hours perfecting everything, hasn't she?
Absolutely. From creating her own dough recipe to the exact sauces, the way she needs it and wants it to taste. Every topping that goes on there has to have her approval for quality-wise. You're going to get the best of the best with Angela, absolutely.
Staff, I'm assuming there was a bit of a changeover once you came back under, I won't say new ownership, but just under a new, what do you call it? What do you want to say? Just a new style or...
Yeah, a new investor.
New investor and a new environment.
Yes, because we have changed things environment-wise, and we've got our investor behind us that's just absolutely been mind-blowingly wonderful, because he didn't just come in and like give us money and say, here you go, try to make it work out. Mm-hmm. He's coming in as a former business owner and really giving us pointers on what we need to do to succeed. And employee changes. It's not just the two of us anymore. We're starting to get staff. It's really exciting. That means that we can just serve you better and faster.
Take a load off for you too. That's for sure.
Yeah, if there's such a thing as taking a load off
in a business like this
place, yeah.
Well, that leads me to my next question then. When it is free time, what do you and Angela like to do? Hobbies and so forth, or is it just we worked our butts off for 5 days, we got to rest?
Rest would be awesome, and we try to sneak that in on Sundays, but riding, we love riding the motorcycle, hanging out with the kids and the grandkids, that's the most important part. Let's see, what else do we do in our time off? Work. That's the, we got Sunday and Monday off, that's the times we got to come in, we got to clean the oven for the next week, we got to go do the shopping we need for the next start of the next week, so... Order truck. It's constantly work, but it's what you do.
So once you knew you were coming back, take us kind of through the steps of what took place getting reopened and, doing the curbside, the delivery, etc., until we get to the point where now we can say, we're here.
Well, that all kind of started in March before any of the stuff, when the COVID started coming around. We were one of the very first ones to switch to the delivery and carry out to make it so people still felt safe and, hey, we can still get you our food, we can do the no contact. You just pull up to our curbside, you can pay for everything over the phone. We switched to that and, it really wasn't working out as well as we planned it to, because, I totally understand. Not everybody needs pizza every single night. So,
although it'd be nice,
and at those times, and at those times, that's another thing that's been wonderful with investor, with the advertising and marketing. Not everybody knew about us because we didn't have the money to advertise and get our name out there like we should. So, it was still just the people we knew that were here before, that we're pretty much doing the delivery and carry out to, and then it really wasn't working out. So that's when we decided to close the doors. And then the investor came in and she didn't jump on it and say, hey, yeah, we're going to do this. Let's reopen. Woohoo. She's like, it's been a crazy year. We need to sit and really think about is it a good idea to open back up, give another try? What's going on? What does this investor want in the end? Are we just going to get in more debt with somebody? You know, she made the decision to open it back up and give it a try. And that's when we're like, okay, we got a second chance. Let's make something different now. You know, and that's where the plans came. Like we had this opened up to everybody, both sides, and that side never got used. So that was another thing when we were down, you know, it's not like we weren't working. We were here switching things around to be able to use the entire building, get our money's worth out of it, you know. And I don't know, step by step, kind of what's going on, huh? And then they started easing up regulations. So we opened just last week the bar side to the public, still waiting to get totally staffed so we can get the restaurant side for the families and everything opened up, because we want to make sure that, you know, everything can be opened up and ran smoothly. We don't want to just open it up and then have it where we're not ready for our staff, you know. And we want to make sure when you come in you got the best customer service possible. So, well, it's, you know, new for us, you know,
but it's natural for you.
Yeah,
for the two of you, because it's just been all of us, we've got a gang of about five,
yeah,
that are kind of our, you know, homemade family, yeah, friends that we've come up with over the years. And we think of you two as family.
Absolutely.
And just we were so heartbroken when you had to close. And then I think we all texted each other within about 10 seconds once we saw something,
yeah,
that you were opening back up. We start doing the happy dances, yeah, and everything else. And I know that we certainly love being able to help support. And there's a lot of people out there that certainly want to see this. And now, with the COVID, one thing that I thought started to happen is it looks like people are maybe starting to at least, even if they didn't necessarily do so, maybe shopping locally,
yes,
is coming back.
I see that as well online, where they want to support the local little guys for reasons like happened to us. You know, corporations can last through something like this, mm-hmm, but us guys with, you know, not that we don't have a huge savings in the bank, you know, we're operating day to day, mom and pop shop for real. We needed the local support, you know, and that's what I see all the time, is everybody's willing to support them now to keep them open through this. So it's a good thing.
Yeah, it's a great thing, because if you've never been here, you have to come down here, because the pizza is absolutely top notch. I challenge you to find a better pizza.
He just wants you to try the podcast.
Well, that's very true. I do want that. Well, I think it was especially fun the night that you started that. And we came in, and you guys were incredibly busy with deliveries and so forth. Yeah. And I was here early and watched the guy that was running the phones that night taking the orders. He says, well, the podcaster's a really popular one.
Yes. Yeah, and I just had that this weekend here on table five. Some people that were from out of town, and they were looking through the menu, and they're like, I just don't see jalapenos and pineapple going together on a pizza, but yeah, what the heck, I'll try it.
Yeah.
And afterwards they're like, that was phenomenal. Yeah, I would have never in my life thought jalapenos and pineapple, yeah, together.
Just something Carrie and I came up with one night when we were here. It's like, oh, let's throw this on it and so forth, and we loved it immediately. So
absolutely.
But we've loved this pizza no matter what pizza we get here immediately. It's been so fun, and so glad that you guys are back open. So we talked about, you know, you don't have a lot of downtime, obviously. We talked about the arts and entertainment community in general, but when you do get a chance to go out and see other arts and entertainment, what do you like to take in?
Oh, I don't know. The last thing I was at was Coulter Wall here, and that's just, I just happened to see that he was going to be in town, and there was no way that I could miss that. Other than that, we don't go out and do anything. Yeah. You know, we're either here working or sleeping, trying to catch up with sleep and relaxation. So
All right.
Really don't go out.
But you do have something that can always be a trivia question. Dave Matthews sang karaoke here one night.
Well, his staff
his
did.
Staff did.
Yeah, in the paper when they did the article, I don't know who wrote that, but it said he did. His staff actually came and sang karaoke. So Dave partied with us, I'm just going to say way too late. So
All right. No, well, I've been to two of his concerts, so I can understand why.
Yeah. And his show the next night was absolutely phenomenal. So.
What else does Sioux Falls need? To make especially the downtown grow?
Just exactly what they're doing, more and more development. You know, I think it's a great thing in that the downtown is just growing and the areas are becoming, I don't know, more beautiful, I would say.
Yeah, they're cleaning definitely up. Cleaned up a lot.
Not that we've got a dirty town right now,
no.
But it's just making it, I don't know, it's sprucing things up a lot more.
That's for sure, and it won't be long, and you're going to have shops around you.
Yes, that's going to be great.
And that'll be great. But in the meantime, this is the place for pizza. It's also the place to hear a great house band. It's a fun place to karaoke. And if you just want to come down here, have a beer, glass of wine, and just sit in here and listen to the jukebox playing those old tunes, classic. And now a classic-looking bartender, too.
Thank you.
Travis, appreciate your time. Thanks for being on the show. And we'll be back to wrap things up in just a moment.
Ladies, when it's time to give your nails some love, get that extra special treatment from Quality Nails on South Minnesota Avenue in Sioux Falls. Manicures and pedicures that look great and make you feel fantastic. Zaya and Tony provide professional care for your hands and feet, whether you just want the basics or an extra special look with added flair. Oh, and guys, it's okay to treat yourself too. Quality Nails. Call for an appointment. 605-334-1463.
From the Dipsy Doodle Studios at the world headquarters of Big D Entertainment, a 40-square-foot home studio in the middle of America, it's Dave Holly.
Hey, I tell you what, it was great. We got out last night to the Sandbar to see what I'm now referring to as a FOTS, friend of the show. And Elizabeth Hunstead, always so great to see that young lady play and sing. She's a wonderful talent. Got to get her back on the show. You know what? Maybe if things work out, maybe next week even. That would be awesome. No doubt about that. In the meantime, tell you what's coming up. Tonight, hoping to get out to Our Wine Bar for some live jazz. The Joel Shotwell Trio will be playing there. And tomorrow night, Friday night, moi, the ruggedly handsome host of Trivia, at the Sky Lounge for baseball trivia. Saturday night, we're going to head on over to the Red Rock at Rowena for Crazy Frank Karaoke. See, we got warmed up when we were at Books and Brews on Tuesday night. Now we're ready to really rock and roll Saturday night at the Red Rock. If you're not going to that, though, 9 o'clock in Brandon at the Double D. It's a great young band called Minority Falls. The young lady that is the lead singer, Katie Munts, I have acted with her, and I've acted even more times with her mother, Angie Munts. So looking forward to seeing them if we get a chance after we've been at Red Rock for a while. Just depends on how the night unfolds. But there's some things for you to take in. Of course, we encourage you to take a look at everything going on at Facebook, because right now there's just so much. Even though some of it's been virtual. Oh, by the way, last week we also got back out to CH2O once again. But we also took in our friends 6 Feet Over. They were playing at Woodgrain. So it's been nice to get out and about as things loosen up. But regardless, make sure you take care of yourself in your own consciousness. Determine whether you feel comfortable or not to go out. But in the meantime, we try to let you know the things that are available for you. And we will do so again next week, once again, on the Dave Holly Hour. Make sure that you go to DaveHollyHour.com, because That's where you can go to the contact page and send a message. Let me know what your favorite episode was and who your favorite guest has been. Once a month, starting the first week of July, then, we will actually draw a winner on a monthly basis for someone to go along with me and possibly, if we can arrange it, your favorite guest for pizza at Books and Brews. All right. Thank you all so much for the shares, the likes, everything else you do on Facebook, Instagram, Twitter, wherever it may be. Certainly appreciate it. And thanks for listening wherever it may be, however it may be, whenever it may be. I'm Dave Holly. Remember, for me, every day is a holiday.
The Dave Holly Hour has been brought to you by Dazzle Shows Presents, The Vaudies, and Dipsy Doodle Productions, and is produced by Big D Entertainment.
Thanks for listening.